Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Those are the words that open Paul's epistle to the Colossians. We find similar references to himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ in the opening words of several of his other epistles, though not all of them. But it is very important that we understand the significance of this title, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so far we have learned that an apostle of Jesus Christ is one commissioned and authorized as a messenger of Christ, that Christ selected his apostles very deliberately, very carefully. Nobody volunteered for that task. Christ trained them himself, and he authorized them to represent him as he sent them out to preach his word, and he empowered his apostles to be able to cast out demons and to perform miracles. And beyond that, and what maybe even is more important, Christ certified the teaching of his apostles, as we saw on the broadcast Friday, and in his upper room discourse in John 14 and 15 and 16, he certifies that the Holy Spirit would enable the apostles to remember the words that Christ spoke to them so that they could pass them on to others, and would even give them additional words from Christ in heaven that he was not able to give to them for one reason or another while he was with them upon the earth. And therefore, the words of an apostle are the words of Jesus Christ. And that we need to keep in mind. And so we'll continue this study on this Monday, August 10, as we gather together around the Word of God and specifically around the book of Colossians. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us with your gifts to the Beacon Broadcast. Yes, the words of an apostle are the words of Christ, and that's something that very few people seem to understand. Many people have the idea that the most important words in the Bible are the words that are printed in red, if you have a red-letter edition of the Bible, and I do. I actually like red-letter editions. I like having the words of Jesus Christ in red. But what we need to understand is that the words in red are the ones that Jesus spoke for the most part while he was on the earth, though some of those are words that he spoke from heaven. You'll find several statements in red in the book of Acts, and you'll find other statements in the epistles where Paul or one of the other apostles quotes words of Jesus Christ, and they are printed appropriately in red. But what we need to understand is that the words that Paul wrote and Peter wrote and John wrote are as much the words of Christ as the words that Christ spoke. The black letter words in your New Testament are as much the words of Christ as the red letter words. Do you understand that? If you do, then congratulations. You know something that a lot of American Christians don't seem to understand. But the black letters in Paul's epistles are as much the words of Christ as the red letters that you find in the Gospels. Now, we also must understand that the apostles were Christ's gift to His church. In fact, they are indeed the very foundation of the church. But let's notice first the words that tell us that the apostles were Christ's gift to His church. Ephesians 4:11, "And He Himself," a reference to Jesus Christ, "He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." There are four categories, four offices of people that Jesus gave as gifts to His church. And what are they again? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And the first in the list is apostles. They are, they were, and they are Christ's gift to His church. In fact, they are the very foundation of the church. Back to Ephesians chapter 2, we read in verse 19, "Now therefore you," Ephesian Christians, you Gentile Christians, "you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." I consider that to be one of the most significant texts in all the New Testament. And again, not one that many people have given much thought to. But this tells us that when Christ built His church, He laid the foundation, and then He went up from there. The building analogy, that's the way we build buildings, isn't it? We lay the foundation, we design, hopefully if we do it right, we design a foundation that is capable of supporting the whole building that goes on top of the foundation. The bigger the building, the bigger the foundation. And that's exactly what Christ did. And He laid a foundation for His church. The church building has been going on for centuries, but the foundation hasn't been going on for centuries. The foundation was laid in the first century. And what was in the foundation? Again, verse 20, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." So I don't think any of us would disagree with the statement that Jesus Christ is the most important part of the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. And in the foundations as they were built in that day, and they couldn't dig trenches and pour in concrete in that day like we do in our day. They didn't have that capability, so what they would do is dig trenches and then put in huge stones. In fact, we look at some of those foundation stones for significant buildings in the first century, and we wonder, how did they even transport those stones? How did they move them without the kind of machinery that we have available today? We look at some of those stones and we say, that would be very challenging to transport in our day. How did they do it in their day? And we have some ideas, but I don't know that we know precisely how they did it. But they did it. They were able to do it. And these huge stones that would go into the foundation would take all of their measurements off of the chief cornerstone. There would be one stone, the one that would be laid first, would be laid most carefully so that it was positioned perfectly, so that from one side of it would go out the foundation stones in one direction, from the other side of it would go out the foundation stones in another direction, and the measurements for those other rows of stones would be taken off of the chief cornerstone, and then as the building went up, the measurements for the rising of the building would be taken off of that chief cornerstone. A level would be laid on the chief cornerstone and on the layer of blocks that went above it to make sure that it was perfectly perpendicular to the chief cornerstone. The most important stone was the chief cornerstone. That's Jesus Christ. He is the block from which all other measurements are taken. Everything else in the church takes its measurements from Him, takes its It's instructions from Him, takes its substance from Him. He directs everything else in the building, but there are two other kinds of stones in the foundation that are vitally important. They are the apostles and the prophets. Now, prophets, we probably know by the word, are those who received revelation directly from God and communicated it to others. They were the mouthpieces of God, the spokesman for God, selected by God for that purpose of receiving divine revelation and declaring it to others. In other words, they were New Testament prophets just as surely as they were Old Testament prophets. And indeed, that's true. Read the New Testament carefully and you will find that that's so. In fact, we just read that in Ephesians 4, didn't we? Christ gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. So there were prophets who received divine revelation and proclaimed it to others. But, as we've already learned, the apostles likewise were prophets. They were more than prophets, but they were not less than prophets. They too received divine revelation and passed it on to others. We read about that in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. So the apostles received the word of God, or more specifically, the words of Christ, and passed them on to others. They were prophets. And then there were other prophets who were not apostles. When you look at the New Testament, you realize that there are 27 books. I can't tell you off the top of my head how many authors. Paul wrote 13 of the books, but let's just start enumerating from the beginning. Matthew, he was an apostle. He was the tax collector called by Christ to be an apostle. Mark, he was not an apostle. Well, how does he get to write scripture? He was a prophet. Luke, he was not an apostle. He was evidently a Gentile physician. Well, how does he get to write scripture? He was a prophet. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, of course, was an apostle, the beloved apostle. Acts, the human author is Luke, a prophet. Romans, by the Apostle Paul, and so forth, right on through the New Testament. Every book in the New Testament was penned either by an apostle or by a prophet. In other words, going back to Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Another way of saying that is, this New Testament church is built upon divine revelation. It is built upon the Word of God. It is built upon the Scriptures that were delivered by the apostles and the prophets. So particularly, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ built upon the New Testament Scriptures, the New Covenant Scriptures, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, but all the other cornerstone, or all the other stones, prophets and apostles who delivered Scripture, divine revelation, the inspired Word of God given to them. That's the foundation of the church, the Scriptures. Everything else is built upon that. And the church continues to be built. It's going on up today and will continue until Jesus says it's completed and returns. But until then, the church is being built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ himself, meaning that it's built upon the words of Christ, the divine words of Christ, the inspired words of Christ, given either by Jesus himself or by the commissioned apostles of Christ or by the commissioned prophets of Christ. And there you have it. The foundation for the church is the Word of the Living God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.